Well, good morning, everyone. Now, as I begin, I want to ask you all a question. I think all of us may have experienced a time, or one place or another, where we feel very stuck. We feel very trapped because we're in a situation where it just seems like we can't get out of it. We just want this freedom. Have you ever experienced a moment like that? And I know that I have in my personal life as well. Now, growing up, you may all think of me as a very good kid who always obeys my parents and never got in trouble at all. Well, that's not true at all. When I was in middle school, I actually did something pretty bad. And I actually got a detention, but it was an ops detention. It's not like one of those teacher detentions. So this is early 2000s. Is in seventh grade social studies class. There was another classmate, I don't know what he was doing. He was drawing him and like another girl. I had no idea what the context of the picture was, but he just showed me the picture, and without even looking, without doing anything, I just took my pencil and I guess I drew a gun in that the person's hand. I didn't know who I put it on there. I don't know why I did it, and it's not even a detail gun, it's just like a little L shape, okay? But nonetheless, I don't know what happened. Apparently, that guy went and showed another student that picture, and that student told on a teacher, and then eventually that guy got called down to the office, and he got in trouble because they thought that he had drew the gun. But then, lo and behold, he told the principal that it was me that had drawn the gun, so I get called down there too. And you have to keep in mind, if this were like 10 years later, I would probably be like suspended because like guns in school is a very, very serious thing. But I only, I guess, got like office detention, like in the middle school. We have this room, students, they call it the green room, okay? It's literally about like two desks wide and probably three desks, like student-sized desks down. And you are stuck here in this room. Before, it was called the gray room because the walls were painted gray. It's called the green room because the walls are painted green. And I heard stories where, like, if you're really bad, they'll close the door on you so that you're just there sitting in the dark. Well, thankfully, they didn't do that at all. But, I mean, I didn't get suspended or anything. I had to go back home and have my parents to sign something. But you can imagine, as a middle schooler going through this, how much, like traps that this kid must have felt. How much like I had felt, because I know I did something wrong, and I shouldn't have, but I still wanted a way out of it. I want freedom from the guilt that I was feeling. I was just as I was sitting there in detention in this very small room. I want freedom from the guilt from having to tell my parents about what happened and what I did. And I think many times in our lives we can feel this way too. Maybe you are trapped because you are stuck in a particular situation, or you can't overcome an addiction or a certain sin that you're going through. Or maybe it's you're stuck trying to please your parents, or maybe you're stuck because you're in a financial situation. No matter what it is, at one point in time or another, we would want freedom. We want to be free from the guilt, free from the pain, and free from the suffering that we've experienced in our lives. Again, we are in a sermon series through the Gospel of John, going through the seven I am statements of Jesus. Okay? So in the Gospel of John, there are these seven statements that Jesus makes. We talked about how Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And when we said that, we saw how Jesus can only be our true eternal source of satisfaction in our lives. Then last week, we talked about Jesus who had said, I am the light of the world, and how Jesus is the true and gracious judge and gracious savior and gracious source of our living. Now today, we're going to look at Jesus' third I am statement, which is, I am the door of the sheep. And as we see this, we will see how by saying this, Jesus is our source of freedom. Jesus can free us from whatever we are going through right now. So if you have your Bibles, please take them out and turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we are going to be reading verses 1 to 10. And to give a short background before we begin reading, Jesus here is speaking with some Jews and speaking with the Pharisees, and he is teaching them by presenting with them an illustration, or some would call it a figure of speech or a metaphor, or even an allegory. This is not a parable, as some people may think of it as. A parable is usually, has one point of comparison and has usually one main lesson or one main point in that. But here in this illustration, we will see that there are many points of comparisons and there are many lessons that we can draw from it. And this illustration that Jesus presents is about a shepherd and his sheep. So please follow along as I read from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, as we have heard and learned from this passage, you are the door of the sheep. Father, I know that you are revealing yourself to us every day, and every time we open your word, help us to see and understand more of who you are, and also understand our identity as well, and how we should relate to you. Lord, show us how you can be our freedom, how you can provide us salvation from whatever we are going through in this life, because we know that you love us that much. Father, I ask that you would teach us. We lift up these things in Jesus' name, amen. So here, as we had just read in this passage here, let me point out to you sort of the structure here. So if you see, from verses 1 to 5 is the actual illustration, it's the actual figure of speech that Jesus was using to teach the Jews and the Pharisees at that time. So again, he's talking about the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep, and they are within this sheepfold or a sheep pen. But you see, the Jews and the Pharisees, they didn't understand, as we see in verse 6. It says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So the next part of this passage, Jesus goes and he basically interprets this illustration for them. He explains to them, but in two ways. So from verses 7 to 10, Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." So he interprets the illustration by saying that he is the door of the sheep. But at the same time, Jesus also says, "I am the good shepherd." So we didn't read that part, but that is from verse 11 to 18. So Jesus makes actually two "I am" statements within this passage to interpret this illustration that he gave. So for today, we will again just focus on the statement, "I am the door of the sheep." And next time, when we come back and gather here for English worship service, we will move on to the next part and discuss about what Jesus means when he says, "I am the good shepherd." So again, today we're going to focus on what he means by, "I am the door of the sheep." So this is the main question that we are going to be answering today. How does Jesus provide us with freedom as the door? How does Jesus provide us with freedom as the door? And we'll see that there are two ways that he does this. So let's start with the first way. So again, let's do a quick review of this illustration that Jesus talks about in the first five verses. So he describes that there is a shepherd and there are flocks of sheep here. And here they are within a sheepfold. Now, what is a sheepfold? Is it like a sheep that folds in half? No, a sheepfold is a pen, a gate that keeps the sheep within a certain enclosed area. Now, it's actually unfortunate for us today that in our normal daily lives as we go around, we don't actually get to see much of a picture between the shepherd and the sheep. In Jesus' time, this picture is very common because people see it everywhere. A shepherd was a common occupation. And people would understand that there is such a great and close intimacy in a relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. So we don't actually get to really understand much of that unless we observe it with our own eyes every single day. But just to give a little background of what people would see, there's actually two different types of situations in that is common during Jesus' time. First, you see a normal family that would own some sheep, okay? So usually they don't keep the sheep in their home. Usually they would bring the sheep out to the sheep pen, which is out in the pastures, and it's nowhere close where humans usually dwell. So they would bring their sheep over and keep them in this enclosed area. And they would also hire a gatekeeper. So they would have someone stand there in front of the gate and to keep watch of the sheep. Okay, so like especially during nighttime to be able to protect the sheep from any wolves or any other thieves or robbers that may come to try to steal or kill the sheep that are there. So you have this type of picture. But then at the same time, you also have another type of picture, which is what the shepherd actually does with his sheep. So you actually have the shepherd leading his flock of sheep from place to place. But then as the shepherd is leading them, he brings them to a particular pasture where, you know, they need to eat and they need to graze. And he would enclose them in a sheep pen or the sheepfold. And in this case, the shepherd acts as the gate, acts as the door in the sheep pen to protect the sheep. So this also gets, I guess, sort of, this is the problem for, I guess, now, some people may ask, how in this illustration, how can Jesus be the door and also be the shepherd? Well, in this case, if the shepherd is the door, then it sort of fixes that problem here. So we're going to focus on this particular setting. So as a result, Jesus continues on and he sort of explains this illustration that he presented. So let's begin in verse 7 again. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And he continues on in verse 8. "All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." So after stating that Jesus is, after he states that he's the door of the sheep, he then contrasts himself with thieves and robbers. And the main point of contrast is to show that Jesus is the only true door, whereas all these other thieves and robbers are false doors, are false entries. And in context here, we see that the thieves and robbers, Jesus is mainly referring to the false teachers of Jesus' times. So they may be the Judaizers, they may be the Pharisees who say, oh, you have to do all these good works, you have to follow the Jewish customs and Jewish laws to be saved, or it could be other false teachers that may be in the area. So, I mean, the idea is that there are these false teachers and false doors that promise false salvation, when Jesus, in a sense, say that he is the only way for salvation. And this is true, but I do not actually think that this is the real thing that Jesus is saying here. If we continue on in verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go in and out and find pasture." Now, many people think that pasture represents heaven. And Jesus, as the door, he sort of mediates access so that people can be able to go through Jesus and go into the pasture and go to heaven. So that's just to say that Jesus is the only true way through faith in him to get to heaven, to get the eternal life. That is true. But again, I do not think that this is what this passage is actually saying. Because again, in verse 9, it says, "He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." How can someone through Jesus go in and out of heaven in a sense. That doesn't really seem to make sense. So in that case, what does pasture actually mean? And I believe pasture refers to all of the security, all of the comfort, all of the provision that God can provide when you become a member of Jesus' flock, rather than a member of a flock of the false teachers or whatever it may be. So again, let's answer our question. How does Jesus provide us with freedom as the door? This is our first point. Jesus mediates access for us to escape from the bondage of sin. Jesus mediates access for us to escape from the bondage of sin. Now, what does that mean here? How do we see that in here? When Jesus says that he is the door, he is providing the... We always usually think of a door as a way to go in, but actually a door is also a way for us to go out as well. So when Jesus says that he is the door of the sheep, he's saying that he is the way by which people can be, at least the Jews at that time, can be able to leave the flock of Judaism, to leave this false teaching, and then also to be able to enter into freedom, to be able to enter into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to find true eternal life. To the Jews at that time, and I guess from Jesus' perspective, these Jews were trapped. They were stuck. They were in bondage of this false religion. But he, as a door, provides the way for them to leave that flock and to enter his flock as his sheep. What type of bondage that you may be experiencing? I guess if we're following on with the theme of like false religion, some of you may be in the bondage of this false idea that you must earn your way to salvation or that you must have to be a good person in order for Jesus to accept you. Or of you may think that, you know, I have to be able to do all these good works. You see, this is an idea of a false religion. And Jesus can be able to save you from that type of bondage. Again, maybe it's sin. Maybe you are addicted and you're stuck in a particular sin. You know that it is not right for you to be involved in that. You try very hard for you to overcome this sin, but to no avail. You may be addicted to pornography. You may be addicted to just thinking highly of self. You have pride within yourself. You may be in the sin of gossip. But again, you know that this isn't right before God, but you feel very trapped because it's become so ingrained inside your life. We feel very trapped. Again, when Jesus says that he is the door of the sheep, he is providing that access for you to leave that life of sin, for you to be freed and to enter his flock and be a part of his people, so you can be able to take part in eating of the pasture, the green grass, all the provision that God could provide you with. This is what Jesus means when he says that he is the door of the sheep. Jesus mediates access for us to escape bondage of sin. Now, a while ago, I had went and... Have you guys ever tried doing one of those escape rooms? Yeah, they're pretty fun. I only did it once with Joyce when we were in Buffalo. And so essentially, if you're not familiar with the concept of an escape room, you basically pay money to be locked inside of a room. Okay, in a sense, that's what it really is. But and in this room, like, there are different puzzles that you have to, and riddles that you have to solve to be able to find, for example, like maybe they provide you with a UV light and you have to go through and find, maybe there's some hidden messages within books that would provide you with a code to open another lock, and then behind the lock there is, I don't know, a sledgehammer or something, which I don't know, they probably won't provide you something like dangerous like that. But the fact is that you're trying to solve your way out to find the key to be able to come out of that door. Because in this escape room, the only way out is through this door. Okay, there's no way out for that. And I think sometimes when we feel that we're stuck, we're trying to work our way out through the room, and we can't find that way out because we are relying so much on ourselves. But really, it takes Jesus to be the door and for us to ask him and to accept him as our Savior, for us to be able to see that we can be able to escape There's only one way out through that. Jesus, again, can provide you with freedom from the bondage of your sin and bondage of whatever you may be able to go through. Again, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you want to be freed from? Whatever it may be, Jesus can provide you with that because he is the true door of the sheep. Don't try to go through any other doors. Don't try to rely on any other person. Don't try to rely on yourself. Only Jesus is the true door of the sheep. How does Jesus provide us with freedom as the door? Again, point one, Jesus mediates access for us to escape from the bondage of sin. Now, I believe this passage and this illustration also teaches us another aspect about what Jesus means and how and what it means when Jesus says that he is the door of the sheep. So actually, I'll give you the second point right away here. Jesus mediates access to us. So Jesus, the first point was Jesus mediates access for us to go in and out and be free from the bondage of sin. But a second point is that Jesus mediates access to us for protection and for care. Let's read verse 1 here. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." So, you know, again, we are the sheep, we're in this pen, but we need protection. The gate at the front, the door, is to protect and prevent access from other people who may try to steal the sheep, or from other wolves, other predators that may try to kill and destroy the sheep. We also see this, look at verse 10 here. "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. However, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So again, Jesus is making a contrast between himself and those who are thieves and those who are robbers. In verse 8, back in verse 8, Jesus is making a contrast to show that only he is the true door. Only he is the true access. But here, the contrast that Jesus is making between him and these thieves and robbers is more about what they do. Thieves and robbers, so again, they can represent the false teachers of Jesus' time, or they can represent anything that may want to try to take you away from God's presence and pull you further away from him. These thieves and robbers are only here to kill, steal, and to destroy. It has this very graphic picture of death and wanting to pull you away from Christ. You know, this is the danger that is out there. You know, Satan is also out there because he doesn't want you to be closer to God. He doesn't want you to believe in and accept God. Or there may be other idols out there that will try to draw away your attention from there. You know, all these is representative of the thieves and robbers. But on the other hand, what does Jesus do? He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So when you are part of Jesus' flock, when you are led into pasture, you will have that provision, you will have that care, and you will have that love, everything that you need in your spiritual life, because the shepherd provides it for you. So this is why it's important that Jesus is the gate, because Jesus mediates access to us for protection and care. So when there's wolves or when there are other false people who are not the shepherd that try to enter the sheepfold, try to enter the sheep pen through the gate is preventing them from doing so because Jesus is protecting us. And it's only the true shepherd, the good shepherd, who can be able to be allowed access through the gate to us to lead us in and out of the pen and to provide us with every good and spiritual need that God can ever provide for us. So, I mean, next week, or next time when we talk about Jesus' I am statement, "I am the good shepherd," we will go into more details about this love and intimacy that we have from Jesus Christ as our shepherd. But for now, we're going to focus on the fact that Jesus, as the door, protects us and provides us with care. Now, Some of you may know, especially if you're college students, that you will receive an ID card, okay? And this ID card is your point of access. It allows you into certain doors and certain buildings on campus, and also prevents you from going into places that you shouldn't be going to. So I still have my RPI card, and even though I already graduated, sometimes like when I went back on campus, I was like, I wonder whether this still works, and I tried to get into some buildings, and like that doesn't work at all. There's another student who had told me a while ago that they and two others were just randomly walking through the DCC, one of the buildings at RPI, and just tapping on every single door with their cards, trying to see what access that they can do, and eventually a security guard came out and told them, hey, guys, you gotta stop doing this. I see your last names popping up, and it's all like the same last names. So it's pretty scary for him. So again, a door is an idea that prevents unwanted access from to protect whatever is behind it. Another illustration, when you pull out your phone, usually you have a password or a passcode or some type of pattern on it. Again, it sort of provides that same protection for you. The reason why a passcode is there is to prevent unwanted people from going into your phone and taking unwanted selfies or doing whatever they want, like stealing your data or whatever. And it's really annoying when they try to attempt to unlock it so many times and then you're locked out of your phone for a few hours. Another illustration, I remember when I was in Taiwan this past September. Wow, it wasn't that too long ago. Joyce had, these two clarinet cases. One of them had belonged to her, and another had belonged to her brother. And this clarinet case, they had like a three-digit combination code. And she had forgotten what the combination is. So me being bored and having nothing to do, I decided to attack it brute force, starting like with 000, try to open it, 0001, open it. And I eventually was able to open it. It took a while, which shows that I didn't really have that much to do during that time. But I guess in this case, when you have Jesus as the door, there's no way to be able to break in or enter in if you're not supposed to be there, okay? I mean, this illustration of like a combination code is actually a little bit flawed. But again, my main point is that the door is supposed to be a security to prevent unwanted access. So God also protects us from unwanted access from other things in this life that will try to pull us away from him. Again, Satan, now there's spiritual warfare going on. He wants to do everything that he can to try to pull you away from God and try to get you involved in sin. Or false teachers may be in the way to try to convince you that there are other ways other than Jesus for you to have spirituality or to have salvation or eternal life. Isn't it comforting to know that Jesus, as the door, protects us? He mediates access to us and only lets in the people that is there to be able to care for us. And in particular, the only person that he lets into us is Jesus himself as the shepherd. And there, he also, as a door, provides us with this care. Everything that we need in this life, love, spiritual goodness, everything comes from his word, and everything only comes through Jesus Christ. So do we ask God for protection? And do we trust God for a protection? I think a lot of times we only go to God only when we are already stuck in a situation, when we already feel trapped and we know that we need a way out. Usually we only call out to God for help and ask God for protection when we are in those situations. But I want to encourage you that even when we don't feel trapped at all, even when we feel that everything is going fine, that we should still be asking God for protection. Because that constant asking God for protection acknowledges that we have a trust in him, acknowledges that we know that only he can protect us from spiritual warfare, protect us from false teachers, or whatever situation that may be in. But even when we are in that situation, we know that he can provide us with a way out of that bondage and the way out of that sin. Isn't it great to know that Jesus, as the door, can protect us and provide for us that way? Let us review everything that we have learned from this passage. Again, we ask the question, how does Jesus provide us with freedom as the door? Again, point one, Jesus mediates access for us to escape the bondage of sin. Jesus provides us with a way for us to leave the flock of false teaching, leave the flock of our sin, and to be able to enter into the pasture of his goodness and to enter into the flock of his people. And then number two, Jesus mediates access to us for protection and for care. Jesus protects us from false teachers and from Satan. Isn't it great to know that Jesus can do that for us as the door? And this is one way that Jesus was interpreting his illustration in the first five verses here in chapter 10, by saying that I am the door of the sheep. So next week is going to be a joint bilingual service, so we're going to be taking a break from that and going on to a different sermon. But the week after that, so it should be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we'll return back to this illustration again. We'll reread the first five verses, but then we will focus on the last part of this passage from verses 11 to 17 and interpret it by the Jesus statement, I am the good shepherd. And we'll see how much of a good, loving God that he is when in relationship with us. So as Christians, I think that we should really be able to go out and preach Jesus Christ, especially if Jesus is this door. He is the only point of access for us to have salvation. He's the only point of access for us to escape the bondage of our sin, and the only point of access for us to receive the protection and to receive the goodness that he provides for us. If we really truly believe as Christians that Jesus is the only way, then why are we just still sitting here and just keeping it to ourselves? How come we don't feel the need to really go out and preach and share with other people and say that that Jesus is the only way? And I think in this day and age in our culture, it is okay for us to talk about God, and even better if we just talk about like spiritual things. However, when you bring up about Jesus and how he's the only way, then all of a sudden that becomes very, very offensive. And people are like, no, leave that alone. Don't talk to me about it. And we don't want to offend people at all, and we don't want to feel hurt or hurt other people. But you see, on the other hand, in Christianity, wouldn't it be offensive if we believe that Jesus is truly the only way, and we believe that he can provide salvation, freedom from the bondage of sin, provide us with care and protection, and we don't go out and share about it? It's like we know about this great thing, but then we don't want to keep it to ourselves. That in itself is also offensive. So I don't want us to be very afraid. I want us to be encouraged to really go out and consider, you know, all of our friends, families, coworkers, anyone that we can meet in this life are also very lost. They're lost sheep. They need a shepherd. They need to be cared for. And they can do so by entering through Jesus as the door and experience the love of Jesus as the true shepherd. I encourage you all to not be afraid and to go out and to really preach Jesus Christ, to preach this good news that we have, because Jesus is the true door. Now let us close our eyes and pray and respond in worship by seeing how much of a good God that Jesus is as the door. Would you bow with me as we pray?